Gary Meyer on the dot. Bibble mentioned that when he was overseas, a guy had to get off the bus to do Hard Lemonade, and he went into the forest preserves to do it. The bus pulled over, and he ran into the forest preserves. And this text says, the good news is he could lay down on one of Bibble's mattresses after he was done, because you dump all your mattresses in the forest preserves, even internationally.
Even in Russia.
And with the movie reviews, once again this week, Eric Childress. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Hello.
We have several movies to cover today. Let's start with The Expendables 3.
Yes, yes. You big action fan, Gary? This your genre?
No, not really.
I really,
the computer stuff, I just am numb to it at this point.
Okay, but what about going back to like the 80s? Your Rambos, your Schwarzenegger? No, not really your thing, huh?
No, didn't really watch a lot of those.
So I assume you probably didn't see the first two Expendables movies then.
You are correct, sir.
Okay, well, you didn't miss a whole lot. The first one, the basic premise of these movies is that you just basically get all these, gigantic action stars or just big burly men together to, shoot a bunch of people. That's, that's all you really need to know about these movies. They're the good guys, of course. And you got your Stallone and, the first couple ones had Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger in small parts and, Jason Statham. It's sort of like the Ocean's 11, basically, of the action genre. And the first movie, it was okay. It was kind of an insane action movie. A lot of crazy bloodletting in that one. The second one, they brought in Jean-Claude Van Damme as the villain and a few other people. Chuck Norris made a cameo in it. Not really that good compared to the first one. And now you got the third one, and they've sort of announced that this is going to be the final one in this unique trilogy that they've made. And they're going all out. They're bringing Mel Gibson in as the villain this time. Schwarzenegger's back. They got Harrison Ford basically taking over for Bruce Willis. Ronda Rousey from the MMA is in this movie. So they got everyone involved, Wesley Snipes, Antonio Banderas. So pretty much everyone Stallone has ever worked with is in this movie. And I have to say that they actually kind of go out on a high note. They've toned down the violence slightly enough just to get a PG-13 rating this time. It's not exactly a movie for kids. It's still very mega violent. But I think this is the first one that they really sort of got what they were going for from the beginning, which is to sort of create this sort of ridiculous amount of fun, put these guys in a movie together. And, everyone sort of gets a little taste of, the old school action heroes. I mean, Harrison Ford's got a moment that's pretty much right out of Star Wars. Mel Gibson gets behind a wheel of a truck in this one. There's all little sort of nods to things from the past. And I think people who, go into this movie expecting, exactly what they want, which is to get a really dumb action movie, they're going to get it. And they're going to get a pretty fun one. I like this movie.
And the first two obviously made money. That's why there's a third one.
Yeah, they made enough. The first one did over $100 million in the U.S. The sequel did like $300 million worldwide, a little less in the U.S. And there's a big story with this one now, because this film was actually a few weeks ago pirated by most likely someone associated with the film or the studio, because it's a very clean copy that was available online, and the studio had to go hunting down every place this thing was pirated. And now they're actually – I just saw an ad just a few minutes ago where they're actually saying, see this movie on the big screen as it was intended. So
pirate, you cheater.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see, if the movie bombs this weekend, which I don't think it will. But if it does, then the studio kind of has an excuse to say, like, well, everyone saw it already, so of course we can make our money.
You bastards.
Exactly. But so, I think the movie is probably going to be number one.
Stallone's cosmetic surgery is veering into Joan Rivers.
Oh, it really is. And there's a couple – I mean, Stallone, his delivery, over the years has certainly waned. Not that it was that fantastic to begin with. But in this movie, there are moments in the movie where you just look like – there's either a lot of Botox involved or, there might be a slight stroke going on. I don't mean to make light of that, but there are moments in the movie where it's just like, Stallone, you can move your face a little bit. It's okay.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, what's wrong with that?
Now, right. We've got Dinosaur 13. How many stars for this Expendables?
Three stars.
Three stars.
Yeah.
Dinosaur 13, what's that?
This is a documentary that is playing at I think the Gene Siskel Film Center this weekend. And it's a story about people who discovered Dinosaur Sioux, which, you know, rests in our field museum. And it's kind of a really interesting story. I mean, you know, you hear these tales of how these, you know, these bones are discovered and they're, you know, they become this great display in a local museum. But this is really, there was a lot of controversy over, you know, getting the, basically, you know, claiming the rights to, you know, these guys being the ones to claim the rights that they were able to find this thing. There was, you know, the government shut down their project. They absconded Sioux from them at some point, and they were trying to just sort of, you know, take down, you know, this great discovery that these people made, this sort of independent discovery. And this is a really sort of a very interesting documentary about what they went through and how you know, ultimately it found its way to Chicago.
Why is it called Dinosaur 13?
Because that was the original, what they originally called it. That was the original name before they had a name for it.
Oh, so that's before they called it Sioux. Before they called it Sioux, they called it Dinosaur 13.
Okay. Correct.
And this movie, The Giver, which has a bunch of stars in it.
Yeah. I mean, people will look at and see Jeff Bridges, Meryl Streep in this thing. But this is another one of these dystopian young adult movies where you have teenagers on the run in a future society that is somehow repressive, but they're going to find their way, you know, to find their way and fight through the oppressive society that they live in. We've had some real dogs in this area over the years. We've had Divergent earlier this year. The Twilight series is certainly, you know, as young adult books go, is pretty dreadful. A film called The Host last year is really terrible. Only The Hunger Games has really sort of, you know, succeeded where a lot of these other movies have failed. And this Giver might be the worst of the bunch. This is a pretty unwatchable film, even with the likes of Jeff Bridges and Meryl Streep in it. Meryl Streep sort of plays the villain in the movie. The story of some point in the future, everything's gone wrong, and so the last people have sort of left, you know, have sort of formed this little society where all memories, you know, you have no memories anymore, Gary. You and I have no more memories. All we believe is what we have come to know about the society, except for one person who's played by Jeff Bridges, who has somehow the mental capacity to contain all the memories and all the history of the entire universe within his head. And one kid gets selected to sort of be his successor, if you will. And as soon as the kid starts discovering all these memories, he decides, well, that might be something everyone else might want to have. But, of course, the oppressive society doesn't want that to happen. So it becomes this really stupid chase movie. I should have just stopped on unwatchable because, you know, unspeakable is another word I could use to describe this movie. It's one of the dumbest films I've seen maybe ever.
And it's based on a very popular book, right?
It is. It's based on a book from 1993, a book that Jeff Bridges has been trying to get made for many years. He's a producer on this thing, and they've made a lot of changes to the book. The ages of the main characters were sort of up to the teenage level to sort of, you know, to make it more palatable for teenagers. It was supposed to be an 11-year-old child. The book is apparently very a lot more ambiguous than the movie wants to be. So the movie wants to have, you know, sort of an ending to it and sort of a hopeful thing where the book didn't really have that. So they sort of really dumbed it down, apparently, although I don't know how much dumber it could have been, beforehand.
Well, do you have any stars to give to this?
I have no stars.
No stars. Zero
this
stars.
This is a fat zero.
How many times have you given out zero stars on a movie? Not very many.
It doesn't happen often. I did give zero stars to that movie, The Host, that I referenced earlier. That was from last year. The only other movie I think I've given zero stars to this year is a film called God's Not Dead.
And you mentioned that movie Divergent. It was on one of the plane rides I took on my vacation, and about 45 minutes in, and I love to watch a movie to kill time,
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes in, took the earbuds out, started reading again. You could see where this was going a mile away. There was no real attraction to staying with it. There was nothing to keep you.
And you got out at a good time because you would have had another hour and 40 minutes to go through in that movie.
Yeah, every time I looked up, the thing was still playing. I think, boy, and we're not there yet? How long is this?
And those things are edited down for airplanes, too. So I can only imagine how dumb that thing must be to set on an airplane. That movie got a half star for me.
Yeah.
And I can't remember why I gave it a half star.
All right. I didn't see any of the Catching Fire, that series.
Mm-hmm.
What's that series?
Those are good. The two Hunger Games movies
in
existence. Yes. Those are both quite good.
Okay, and then as soon as something like that hits, they go, that's what we got to start making, and then they do poor replications, and this is what we're getting. I didn't see this Host thing, but it's in the same vein, right?
Yeah, the Host was actually written by the same woman, Stephanie Meyer, who wrote Twilight. That was sort of her follow-up to the Twilight series, and it was even more dreadful than the Twilight series. Really interesting directors, too, like attaching themselves to these movies. The Host was directed by Andrew Niccol, who wrote The Truman Show and did a movie called Gattaca with Ethan Hawke, which is a really interesting sci-fi movie. And this movie, The Giver, I couldn't even believe it. I knew nothing about the film going in. And at the end of the movie, it said directed by Philip Noyce. Do you know who Philip Noyce is?
No.
He directed the two Jack Ryan movies with Harrison Ford, Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger. He directed a movie called Dead Calm many years ago that was sort of introduced Nicole Kidman to the world with Sam Neill and Billy Zane. He's sort of a on and off director, but he's directed some really solid action movies. And this thing is the worst thing he's ever been associated with.
And
by a mile.
I think the lesson here is we all have to get Meryl Streep's agent. This woman works all the time. Is there no one else that can do these things?
Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, it seemed like, why Meryl Streep would attach herself to something like this. I think it seems like, even our best actors at some point are going to attach themselves to some sort of young adult fiction. I mean, we had Kate Winslet in The Divergent, for God's sake. Kate Winslet and Meryl Streep, maybe inarguably the two best actresses of their respective generations, and they're in this garbage this year that just makes me sad.
It should be arguably the best actresses. If it's inarguably, then we can argue that they aren't. It's got to be. I always thought when I heard that they're arguably, and I'm thinking, well, that means we can argue that they're not.
Irregardless.
But it's one of those things where no, arguably means they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they are arguably the best actors.
I would say inarguably because, they are, for my money, they're the two best actresses of their generations.
All right. And so. Katie Holmes, what's her story? Can this woman act? She's on the talk show circuit, and I'm thinking, you can't even sell the movie, let alone, I don't know what your acting abilities are in the movie, but I just feel sorry for her at this point because I'm sure that Tom Cruise thing was pretty much a nightmare, and she, well, the way they rolled it out after she left, it sounded like it was, and she seems wounded by that, and I don't know what her acting chops in. After they had her in that one Batman movie, you'd think she would continue, but they wouldn't use her again on that either.
Well, she's made some very questionable decisions with her career. You could say marrying Tom Cruise was one of them, but that was right around the time when she did that first Batman movie, and that was Christopher Nolan who did that was right on the with that Batman movie. Basically, he really became something, and she's the one who dropped out of The Dark Knight. Fire her. Yeah, she took a starring role in this really bad Diane Keaton movie called Mad Money. That's the reason she didn't do The Dark Knight.
I thought they just didn't have her back.
No, she couldn't do both movies. So I don't think they outright fired her. That might be some of the stories that are out there. But no, she took down or decided to take this other role instead of continuing in the Batman series.
Good move.
Right, exactly.
Katie, talk to Meryl. She seems to know how to do these things except for this Giver thing. She seems to know how to keep on rolling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a colleague who thinks that, Katie Holmes gives maybe one of the worst performances in film history in this movie. And she's only got like three or four scenes. And as far as like distractions of this movie is concerned, Jeff Bridges's daughter in the movie, who again is a cameo appearance. So like halfway through the movie, you're sitting there, and who plays Jeff Bridges' daughter? But Taylor Swift.
Okay, and does she have any acting chops?
She's the only decent thing in a really terrible movie called Valentine's Day from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where she sort of displayed, you know, some potential comic chops. She didn't have much to do in that movie, but it was like, I think that was the only reason I gave that movie a half star a few years ago. But in this movie, I think she might have one line of dialogue. She's only sort of portrayed in flashbacks, so you don't see her much, but like to see her, you know, cameo in this movie, like, what the hell is Taylor Swift doing in this movie? And yet she completely out-acts Katie Holmes, for sure.
All right, it's The Expendables or that dinosaur movie. If you're
looking. Those are good. Those are good choices. Two very different movies, but those are two good choices for the weekend.
All right, Eric, thank you. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Eric Childress with the movie reviews.
And Jeff Bridges initially, as he said, has been trying to get this movie made for 18 years. He wanted to have his father play the role that he's playing now.
But he's dead.
He's dead, and now he's old enough to play the old character.
And then he ends up with zero stars.
I know. How is that? So this is a project that you've been trying to get made for 18 years. You've got your heart and soul in it, and now it's just
being... I know.
Being...
That's the game they play, though.
Wow.
They know that going in. It's brutal. Listen to this.
Uh-oh.
The 2014 BMW i3 cars will begin showing up at dealer lots later this year, and when drivers get behind the wheel, they'll notice something missing. AM radio. The car maker opted for an FM radio only for the model after interference problems with its all-electric motor.
Whoa.
Whoa, man.
Hoofa.
So there. It says here, AM radio continues to serve an important role in America's cultural landscape, and i3 drivers deserve access to this programming. This is the National Association of Broadcasters.
Right, yeah.
Brassnappers, as they're called, too. Gordon Smith writes, he's the president. He points out that other manufacturers have run up against AM interference concerns, but they were able to figure out a solution in order to keep it in the dashboard.
Oh, my God. That is huge. The 3 model, that's kind of the affordable BMW. So that's one where more people will, you know, probably...
But it's their all-electric car.
Yeah, but still.
Is it affordable...
Well, I don't know. Well, I'm just saying, there are 3 model now.
Okay.
Whether that
I know
falls
some of these electric cars can get a little pricey.
But I know the 3 model is like the kind of their entry level BMW line. Now this is electric, but still, wow.
The NAB hopes to use content that buyers of the model won't be able to access as a selling point, noting that most talk and sports formats are found on AM. As well as 2/3 of all minority-owned stations.
Wow.
Okay, you want more news in that department?
You know, you laughed about the future.
I don't laugh about it. Yesterday, Disney, one of the world's most respected media companies, sent a signal to the media and advertising world that could be devastating for radio. Essentially, they said they are selling off their AM and FM signals because they no longer need them, since only 18% of listening is coming through AM and FM. The rest is coming from digital or satellite.
So like the Disney Channel, like here in Chicago and everything?
Well, I don't even remember. What do they have? Do they own?
They have like a...
ESPN, right? Don't they own ESPN?
Well...
I think they do.
ESPN
Radio.
So does that mean the Disney-branded channels? Look, because there are Disney-branded channels.
Says selling off their AM and FM signals. I think that's everything. And I think ESPN is part of that.
Yeah. Because that's ABC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, ABC owns ESPN.
So that would be part of it.
Oh, my gosh.
18% of listening is coming through AM and FM. Rest from digital or satellite. Thank you. See, I said to management, you got to get me off of that dog. Okay? That thing's going
that
nowhere.
Is old. Not even old media. It's ancient media. It's crumbling media. Wow. That's huge.
Well, that
for a car not
well,
to put that
is something
that is unbelievable.
And they can say that it's because of the battery and stuff, but you know that they're trying, and this is the problem that AM has been facing. And I'm not trying to dump all over because you never know. But the AM signal might seem unhip when right. you're buying a fancy schmancy car.
Well, think about it. If I'm gonna try to sell the stereo system in my car, I want to sell the stereo system on music and how music sounds in a car, not how talk sounds in a car.
Well, obviously the audience they're going for is younger, and that's what
yeah.
they're saying. Hey, this is so hip. We don't even have an AM radio in there.
That is.
That's your father and your grandfather's stuff.
And
that's what they're probably saying.
And didn't you say that there was a time when there was no FM?
Oh, yeah. When I first bought a car,
there was just
the
AM.
Early 70s, it was AM only. I had to buy an FM tuner and put it in my glove box.
Circle of life.
Before that became a standard thing.
Wow. And now, look
Did
at
Did you
this.
Hear that, Leslie? I know you handed me the Disney story.
Yeah.
Now, does that include ESPN or just the Disney?
I don't. It sounds like it's just the Disney
brand.
Wait a minute. AM, do they have those Disney FM stations? I thought they were mostly AM.
No, those
it
are
says
music
selling
stations.
Off their AM and FM signals.
Yeah,
that's ESPN, right?
See, he's saying like all their stations.
Well, that's the way the article, and I gave him
yeah.
that link to the article, and it sounds like it's Disney.
Like everything.
Everything.
So even ESPN and all those others. Wow, that's huge. But did you hear the story about the BMWs?
No.
You hear that one? The
Hold on to your girdle.
2014 BMW i3 cars will not have AM radio.
Wow.
Only FM.
Wow.
That's huge.
Because of interference problems with its all-electric motor.
That's, I mean,
yeah.
But
so you'll have to listen through, you know,
yeah.
iHeartRadio
right.
or tune in or one
so
of those?
Even if, right, if that is the way everything's going, and it appears to be, if there is AM and FM in the next 5 or 10 years, it will all migrate to the Internet.
Yep.
One way or another.
Gary, you're the future.
You're the present.
Yeah. Future.
Forget
that was
future.
Yet. I'm just
exactly.
right now in the present.
It's 4 months already. It's only been 4 months, and it's already.
Gary Meyer on WGN.FM. This text at 312-521-8600 just bought an FM transmitter on Amazon for $11. A month ago it was $8. And then that Dan said it was 10. Now it's up to 11.
Because there's demand.
It's got a bump going.
They want to make some money off these things.
Giving a little bump there on the FM transmitter through Amazon. And then somebody texted me this, 23 radio Disney stations, not ESPN. I mentioned right before the break that Disney is selling all of their AM, FM Disney radio stations. They own ESPN, too, so I guess they're keeping those.
Yeah, because that's huge. I mean, there's
although those radio Disney stations, what do they play? Little Mermaid and
I think they have real. Don't they have real?
I don't know what. I don't know
programming. I don't know. That's for the youngsters.
And by youngsters, you mean 8-year-olds?
Yeah, real young.
Who's listening
yeah.
to that?
Yeah. Well, clearly nobody. That's why.
Well, they said they're selling them because only 18% of listening is coming through AM and FM. The rest from digital or satellite.
So when they say listening, do they mean all listening of any? They make that sound very inclusive, like all listening, not just in their demographic group, but
it says here, this is from Radio Inc., publisher Eric Rhodes. This is the first time in history where there is actual action from a radio broadcasting company to remove AM and FM from their distribution. It's the first sell-off of AM-FM properties because their listeners are digital.
Well, it's invaded everything. So
keep invading. Want that invasion to keep on keeping on. There's another story kind of linked to that discussion I had about the toilets in India. And this, again, goes back to Japan. Yesterday, we talked about those real dolls that Japan is manufacturing, and you can't really tell at first glance if they're a doll or
no,
real.
No, not at all, except when the price tag comes.
And then you know. Of course, a real woman could have cost you.
Sometimes. Especially one that looks like that.
Watch your mouth. New exhibit opened in Tokyo at a science museum there, dubbed Toilet, Human Waste and Earth's Future. The exhibit centers around toilets and waste.
Oh.
The exhibit shows different kinds of animal dookie, as well as various shapes of human dookie.
Oh.
There is a section on space toilets as well as toilets of the future. In the middle of the exhibit, there is a giant toilet slide, and they have a picture of it. It is what it says, a giant toilet, and there's a stairway going up, and kids walk up.
Oh,
and
so you slide into the toilet?
Go right in, yeah. That's great. Who wants to slide down into the toilet?
I hope you don't have to slide on one of those, what were those, potato? What, like, remember the star slides you used to get on one of those mats?
Those potato sacks?
Weren't those potato sacks?
Burlap bags.
Yeah, burlap. Yeah, because how bad would that look, sliding down the slide?
But it's Japan. I don't know what the heck's going on there, but they come up with some pretty whack stuff.
Jeez.
And again, if you're curious about the look of the real doll, what is the website?
Realdoll.com.
Realdoll.com. Check it out. I'm not exaggerating one bit on
that.
And
the other one that you were talking about, the Asian one, is called Orient Industry, I think.
Hey, Marlene, come on in.
Wow.
I want to make sure I'm on good paper with you.
Who is that? We haven't seen her.
Marlene, come on in. She can't hear anything in the hallway. They don't have a speaker out there. Come on in.
She's too busy
I want to make sure that I didn't get on your bad side because of the food removal that
she's
they broadcast.
She's too busy removing food after 10 minutes. In the middle.
In the middle microphone. Come on,
yes.
Marlene.
Oh, come on.
Everybody knows Marlene. You've been here
47 years.
47. Embrace it.
Hi.
When I had that broadcast on the 22nd floor and then the food was removed kind of abruptly.
It was not.
That's what she says.
Yeah.
That's what she says.
It was gone by four.
I turned around to get another piece of pizza and everything was gone.
You came up right before showtime. Everyone was eating well before you got up there.
But I like to graze during the show.
Where did you see?
There you go. Too bad. See, there's her answer.
Too bad. And you brought it down to what? The 7th floor, and everybody got to finish it off.
Yeah. Sharing.
No, I don't.
No,
that's my food.
They
can get their own food.
They knew it was from you.
What about 5 o'clock? If you want a piece of pizza.
The what?
What if it was 5 o'clock and you wanted a piece of pizza?
How long do you want that food to be sitting out in the sun?
It was a cool afternoon.
It
would have stayed. It was good food too. When you really are into it, and you think, wow, this is going to be good.
I know that, but...
What?
What did you do about the pizza company?
Well, I mentioned the wrong pizza company, but I made up for it.
No.
I thought that's why you took it. Oh, you don't even know the sponsor? Good luck. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And it was...
Paisanos.
Right. Yes, Paisanos put out a nice pizza spread for us.
And the nice boxed pop. Remember the
what
pop
is it?
That was in the box?
Oh, yeah, then you took all the... The water and the pop and put it in a cardboard box out of the cooling
took all the,
bin.
Took all
the tub.
Ice away.
Thank you.
Well,
that was a nice touch.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, is there any chance I can broadcast from Ravinia? Or can you pull some strings on that one?
Oh, look at her face.
The season is shorter than it was 2 months ago now, see?
I know.
Can you help me on that? Can you help me out?
Nick was supposed to get back to me.
Nick at Ravinia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you kind of push that along?
Because
I'm on the first floor now. I don't see anybody, and they don't come down much.
We're in Siberia.
You can come back upstairs.
Yeah, my key card doesn't work anymore.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I thought I lost it, so I had to make another one. So they disconnected my first one because I found it.
So now your first one is disconnected?
Yes. They demagnetize or whatever they do. So they hand me the new one, and my name is misspelled. So I thought,
Which one? One R?
Yeah.
Oh.
Then I get it made again.
Oh, jeez.
Because I got to know Marlene.
No, yeah.
She takes care of all that stuff.
Ever since we were banished.
You know, there's a phone.
I know. I don't know what your loyalties are anymore.
But out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, you really have forgotten about
that's
this.
That's true.
Oh, sure.
Okay, if you can pull the Ravinia broadcast off.
You know where I sit in the timeout quarter.
All right, Ravinia, work your magic.
That's
Thank
true.
You.
They put her in a cube in a corner,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Marlene Wells getting it done. John, the old-fashioned way. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Gary, are you guys off early for Bears pregame tonight?
What's that?
Are you guys off early for Bears pregame?
Right, Bears pregame. Yeah. Bears pregame coming up at 6:30, even though we don't cover the Bears. I'll just say pregame.
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
Yeah, I've got a way to get around this, you know, listen to you guys. I actually have a vehicle with a cassette player still, and there's a cassette player adapter you can plug into your phone.
Oh, jeez.
A cassette player?
He's got an 8-track.
The trick is finding a 20-year-old vehicle that still runs.
What kind of car is this?
Actually, it's a 2003 GMC Yukon. It still had a cassette player and a CD player.
Yukon.
I have a 99 model car, and it had a cassette player in it, but I think that was about the tail end of the cassette player.
I don't know. This is 2003, and this is a little thing you plug in, and you're good to go. And they still sell them at, like, Target and places like that.
Really?
I don't know why. I can't imagine that. I'm probably the only person to buy one in the last 15 years.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to start phasing out the CD player.
Well, my car, I used to have the same model from 3 years ago. I had a CD player that took 6 discs. The new model just takes one.
One disc.
And now, so they're, right. That's got to be on the way out.
Sure.
So, I mean,
hey, they're taking AM out of the car. AM is going on the BMW.
A whole band.
i3 gone.
A whole band.
Yeah, get with it.
I'm going to hang on to my old car. I mean, this is easy.
Okay. Whatever works. Hey, I'm happy to hear that.
All right. Thanks a lot. Show sounds great, by
the way. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. 312-521-8600.
Yeah, I mean, where would you even – I don't even think they sell cassettes anymore.
Even at those stores that sell vinyl, they don't stock cassettes?
Well, like a used place. But I'm talking about, like, what if I wanted to buy a blank cassette? You know what I mean? Like a Maxell. I don't think you could even buy that at Walgreens.
I don't know. I haven't even bothered to look.
Yeah, I don't think they have that anymore. They may not even sell blank CDs, you're saying.
I think you can still find those. But as far as...
Jeez. Yeah, cassettes.
The cassette... You're right. They used to have a section at a drugstore there. There's a Maxell packet of 3.
Yeah, Sony's and, you know, I mean, come on. They used to have the whole box. You could buy a whole box of Maxell.
And I've got cassettes at home. What am I going to play them on? Yeah, I don't even have a – I don't think I have a cassette player anymore.
I know. I used to have that little black one that everybody – that Panasonic black one that everybody had. But that thing broke.
All right.
You still have a stereo? Like a component system?
No.
No. See, so that's where you'd have
right.
a set player, but you don't even have that. I don't have that set up anymore. I have one of those Waves.
Right. I got a Bose.
Yeah.
That's fine. Some of these people that go out and all these pieces and...
Yeah. You know what? I'm not 17 anymore. As long as the song plays.
This stuff, the Bose...
Oh,
sound just as good.
I don't need to hear the triangle in the back
right.
that I never
Some
heard before.
Some purists out there need all that nonsense.
I used to. I'll be honest. I did.
Oh, yeah.
To.
I had it, too.
Yeah. But
I had all the sections.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. The whole rack.
Right. I had bought a case, had a glass door.
Right. The whole spiel.
All that stuff.
The big old speakers.
The case ended up in the garage, and I would just put tools and stuff in it when it was done. I mean, I didn't even need it anymore. I like the streamlined life. I just want it down to the basics.
That Bose thing, that Wave, that thing, it fills a room.
We must sound like we are one of those survivalists out there. That we're sitting there with the canned goods, our rifle. It's good enough.
Today I was in a waiting room, and there was a guy who had more cords coming out of his body. He had his iPhone, he had his laptop on his lap, he had an iPod with the cord coming in. He was connected with his iPhone into a connecting, you know, thing, and his laptop was in the electricity too. He had cords all over the place. And I'm sitting there reading a magazine. Yeah.
I know you see these guys at the airport now because they have these
plug-ins.
Electrical outlets everywhere now.
Yeah.
And they sit down, they plug right in. And I'm going through the New York Times.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happy.
Yeah, I had my New Yorker. This guy's got 5 cords. He's glowing. There's so much electricity around him. There's like an aura orb around.
Although when I saw Melissa McCarthy watching a movie on her iPad on that flight, I thought, maybe I should step into that. That looked...
Oh, on the iPad.
Yeah,
huh?
And I was sitting next to a guy at the airport once, I think I mentioned this. This was after the Pittsburgh trip. And while we're waiting to board, he watched at least, because the flight was delayed about 2 hours, he watched about six Twilight Zone episodes back-to-back.
Honestly.
That he had stacked in there, yeah.
See, that is kind of cool. I mean, believe me, I understand the convenience and the cool factor of it, but
I think Eric's going to say something about that. Here you are, Eric, on the dot.
Gary, it's Eric, one of your eight regulars.
One of the eight regulars. In fact, I think three of them have checked in. Dave Novotny.
Right.
Eric. Matt, okay, the trivia guy, hasn't checked in yet.
And
I'm worried.
Joe hasn't come in.
Joe,
the mail woman. Where's the? What about the taxi driver?
Oh, Bob.
Bob,
he did call, but he wanted to talk to David Hochberg.
Oh, okay.
And he hung up right as David ended.
Okay.
He wanted to know if Skokie's still hot.
All right, well, we got still, an hour and 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if any of your regular callers go missing in action, unfortunately, I'll give them 10% off.
What's that?
He's an undertaker.
Never mind.
That's right. You're an undertaker. I remember that.
Bad joke. My older brother, Kurt, always was and always will be a complete stereo fanatic. And he's still got an entire wall dedicated to a component radio, so equalizers, reel-to-reel. He still has a reel-to-reel tape deck. And Nakamichi this and Yamaha that.
Rama that and Yuka GG this.
Yeah, and I remember going to his house one time.
Rants.
Right. And I was reaching for a button on an equalizer. I'm like, oh, what does this button do? And he's like, don't touch that button. You're going to throw everything off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, Kurt, I don't even know what this stuff is.
I know.
I still have a rotary phone in my garage, and I'll put that up against any cell phone or any phone that I have.
Right. These guys are like George Martin. They put the 12-inch vinyl on, and you can hear everything on Sgt. Pepper's that they want you to hear.
Right. And when I was, this is going back maybe 30 years ago, I was in the market for a new amplifier or whatever. I don't even know what you call that kind of stuff. And he went shopping with me to the Musicraft in Homewood, and that's a name out of the past too. That's, you know, gone by the wayside. But he's like, oh, well, you got to get this, and it's like, Kurt, all I want to do is be able to turn on a dial and get music out of the speakers. I don't care about anything else. And he was so fanatical about it. He didn't do all the terminology. He goes, oh, you got to bring a tester CD so that you can test the speakers to see if they're natural sound. It's like,
really?
Oh, my God.
Life is too short.
Yeah.
Just want to hit a button, hear some music. That's
right.
Enough. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks, Eric. No, I meant thank you in the conversation
right.
of that, and he thought it was goodbye.
Did you have an equalizer on your thing?
I think I did.
Yeah, with all those
equalizer.
Yeah, they had to have all those. They had to be in a certain
wave. You guys sound like a couple of old farts. That's better than a new fart, isn't it? I have a 2014 Jeep Cherokee, and there is no CD player in it.
Yeah. What's your?
What's a CD?
Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
2014.
No CD. Yeah. Because when I bought I got the 2013, the same model, as I said, held six CDs. So I get the new car and I had my CDs with me because I pulled them out of the old car. So I'm starting to feed it in, and after the first one, it's not going in. I keep pushing it in. So I go to the guy, there's something wrong with the CD player. He goes, well, didn't it go in? And I said, well, yeah, only one. And he goes, oh, that's all it takes. And I'm like,
yeah, game
I used
over.
To have a six changer.
That was in
the
back. I
remember when people used to have to do that in their trunk.
Mine has it in the back if
you
I want to load
it
up. I haven't loaded that thing up in 10 years.
You have the little remote in the front so you could play it? Where do you play it from your...
They would just sequence and you'd see it on the face of the radio.
I had a remote.
Go to Maxwell Street to buy cassettes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Here's one of the regulars, Wes from South Bend.
Wes.
I think we have half our callers have now checked in.
Yeah, we've got darn near all 21 of us. Darn near.
21? I got 21?
Well, that's what Bibble said today. There was like 21 people. That
I couldn't name 15. I got maybe 8 on my mind that I know.
Hey, this vintage audio gear, your last caller chimed in about his buddy or his brother or whatever had the whole rack and all that. And there's a market out there, the audio files or whatever you want to call them. It's huge. My father bought a place in Florida, and it was an estate sale deal, and he bought the house, and they left a bunch of this audio gear in the house, and there was the Nakamichi, the yada yada Techniques, all these equalizers, all this crap, and he's calling me, He said, hey, you want me to bring this stuff home? You think you can move it? I said, well, eBay, these people buy it all the time. She brings the stuff home that they left there, and I sold it for him, and he made $700-$800 on this stuff that, you know, here we are with our jam boxes and our going to Maxwell Street and buying cassettes, but there's still guys out there.
Oh, yeah. There are purists out there that hunger for that stuff.
Yeah, I don't see it because it takes up so much space and all of them, but whatever. You know, hey, that's your deal. Go ahead. But I've got a 62 Studebaker that came with no radio. I restored the car. I cut out the radio delete plate, and I put a CD, Alpine CD player in it, and it came with a remote.
A remote?
What do you – do you need a remote in a car? I mean, are you that far away from
right.
the
Are you going to be in the back seat?
Yeah, what are you doing with this?
Aren't you operating it right there by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's within, you know, a foot and a half of your hand? I mean, what do you need this remote for? So, anyway, I think I threw it away. I mean, what are you going to do with it? But
throw it away.
Whatever. Yeah, so there you go.
All right, Wes, I have one of the other regulars standing by.
All right. Thanks. Take care, guys.
Thank you. It's taxi driver Bob, who did try to call during David Hochberg's segment. He wanted to know if Skokie is still real estate hot. Is that where you live, Bob?
I'm here now. Okay, good. I had you on hold, but I had to talk to somebody real quick. Yeah, I was, and it was funny that Bibble was mocking an old Jewish man because that's what my dad is. He lives there, and he's trying to sell his house, and he's being real stubborn about the price that he wants for it, and Skokie has changed quite a bit. So all the apartments in Skokie have gone to Section 8, and kind of the neighborhood's changed. There's no more. There's not many Jewish people that live in Skokie anymore.
Oh.
Let's put it that way. And so the market went down, but it came back up. But the neighborhood came back down. So
he wants to go to.
Wants to go to Florida and
just don't sell it for retail.
and then you guys are talking about potty talk, and I got a trip to the airport, and I really got it going, and I'm feeling pain. And you guys are talking about it, and my customer in the back is like, "What are they talking about on here?"
Well, you drive all day. You must have favorite bathrooms or some backup plan if something goes haywire.
I know where all the good bathrooms are all over the place because, as you know, you don't want to go in any porta potty or any bathroom in a gas station. Some gas stations are pretty good, but as a whole, I usually find the hotels and where there's always a clean bathroom. You definitely don't want to go into those hideous places. But I just can't. Those figures you're coming out with the fact that they go and you said they were going in the fields and
that's
then
in India. India, yeah.
God, yeah. I mean, it's just hard to imagine that those people are doing that there and they don't have any idea that the fecal matter is getting on their food.
Well,
and then,
you'd think they know this by now, but some of these people had toilets installed in February, still haven't used them. Why would I need that? They have some feeling that going to the bathroom inside the house is worse because you eat and sleep there than going out in a field.
Well, you know what the strangest part here is? I'm in the suburban cab lot out here, and they got porta potties here, which I don't set foot in unless it's real. I can't, you know. So I've been in there a few times, but these foreign guys are going in there with bottles of water, and then you see bottles of water like on the shelf inside there, and my understanding, they kind of wash themselves before they go to the bathroom, and these third world countries, man, I don't know what they do over there, but gosh.
They don't do what we do. We got it all going here.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Taxi. Yeah.
You have a good day.
You too.
Okay, I just finished this book called...
You get Joe and then two more and we're up to speed. What book?
It's called A Long Way Home by the author Saru Brierley, and he's this guy who got lost as a kid in India, like separated from his family. At the age of 5, was adopted and sent to Australia to live with a couple there. And then over the years now has used Google Earth to try and find where he was from originally, and he figured it out, like followed all the rail lines and stuff. But the most telling part is when he gets to India and he talks about just the smell.
Yeah,
and there
I can
is
smell
something
it from here.
Just so
I just when I hear India, I have a certain smell that comes about.
And in this case, it's more of that poo talk.
Okay. Slumdog Millionaire. Tell me what's wrong. That was right there. They filmed it there. That kid under the platform.
But don't they have, like, really cool stuff to see in India?
Yeah, you got the Taj
Isn't
Mahal.
Isn't that where the Taj Mahal? I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, you sort
of
want to.
You go there for Holi, where they throw all the paint at each other? That looks like a hoot and a holler
right
there.
So, I mean, you certainly would like to go there.
No, I would not.
Well, no, I don't mean you. I just mean collectively. It's a reason to go. Because of that.
I'm sure there are areas that are fine. Find out what they are and tell me. Ken, get back to me on that. Ken, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was hearing you talk about this guy sitting at the terminal with all these things plugged in. And I travel a lot. And so I was on a red eye a couple of months ago. I almost made it to the news because I got so irate with this a guy similar. I was on a red eye from L.A. going to Newark, so I had not charged my iPod and my laptop, and so I was trying to scrounge around at the terminal for an outlet, and everything's all plugged in, because, you know, it's almost a six-hour flight, so everybody's got their stuff plugged in. So I get on the airplane, and the guy that I see that's hogging, like, all these plugs in the terminal is sitting next to me. It's a 767, so it's 232 or 252, so he's sitting next to me. And he's in ahead of me because sitting in the seat because he's got status over me. So I get on the plane and I said, do you mind if I plug my iPod in so I can charge it? He says, well, this is a long flight and I got lots to do. I can't let you, he says, I'm charging all my stuff. So I let it go. It's about 3 hours into the flight. He gets up to go to the bathroom. And I unplug the outlet. He had two outlets hogged by the seats. Well, he comes back from the bathroom and he gets upset with me and he calls the flight attendant over. And he got irate that he needed to charge his stuff for business and he needed to have a meeting the next morning. And I just said to him, I said, sucks to be you. And that's it. But this is the craziness
and
that
you have. Then you kept the outlet to yourself?
And I kept the outlet for the remaining 4 hours.
All right.
No, there's two outlets on the chair. He had plugged all this stuff in both of them.
I know. Everybody's doing this everywhere at the airport now. Ken, thank you. Appreciate it.
Testing now.
Go.
We should stir things up just to see how the heck we got in this situation.
He's down on the phone.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Good evening, San Diego and Bridgeview. Breaking news. An Ohio grandmother got a visit from Child Services after she posted photos of her granddaughter in a roasting pan surrounded by potatoes.
No, bitch!
Another picture showed the baby with her pacifier duct taped to her mouth. The grandmother said she was just being silly.
It's silly.
And that people are too uptight.
This kid, it is just silly.
Oh, Grandma, you're so funny. Now, let's wrap some duct tape around your face and pull it off.
Ow!
Funny, right?
Silliness, that's all it is.
A developing story. A father in Georgia was arrested when police approached his car at a stoplight because the car hadn't moved after several light changes. Police found a man passed out with his foot on the brake, a two-year-old not strapped in on the front seat, and in the car seat in the back seat was a bottle of whiskey.
Holy cow!
So the two-year-old hits the dashboard if you stop short. That's okay. At least your bottle of whiskey is safe.
Idiot.
You moron.
Moron.
Stunod. Strunce.
You inhuman slime.
Ditch rat.
You slut.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, and the Gear Force welcomes fellow aviators, the Blue Angels, to Chicago this weekend.
Hold on 1,000 up to Donna 360.
This is the Streamliner, the Super G.
Using a little more power.
WGN.FM.
A little more pull.
Chicago.
Air and Water Show this weekend, and that's why they call it an Air and Water Show, because that's what it is.
Okay, Spike.
Quoting former colleague Spike Odell. They call it an Air and Water Show because that's what it is.
And all those pilots are going to be descending on our nightclub and bar scene,
as
too,
they should.
I assume.
Lock up your daughters and wives.
I mean, think about it.
Scoop them up.
Right now, there are women out there who have no idea that by the end of the weekend,
they're going to be Blue Angel. They're going to get a Blue Angel.
Yeah. They don't. They have no idea right now.
They're
going to
get a nice afterburner.
Right. They have no idea. They're going to be in the cockpit.
That's the way it goes. That's why we live in this country. Because we can do that kind of stuff. 312-521-8600.
If you're one of those guys, do you go into the bars wearing the outfit?
No, if you can find one. But you have to have that 13-inch waist.
No, but I'm saying if you're one of them, do you wear your jumpsuit when you go in?
They are actually one of the guys.
Yeah, if you're one of them.
I don't know. What do they do that outside of flying and being on the airstrip?
I don't know, but I mean, don't you? I mean,
I would.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's a great advertisement.
Sounds like Bibble's kind of excited to see the boys in town. Yes.
The boys are back in town.
Yes. And the Van Halen song there will be one of many they play in the cockpit, I'm sure. It's either Van Halen, AC/DC, ZZ Top.
Or something from Top Gun, though, right? Remember the movie?
Some Kenny Loggins. Yeah.
Danger Zone.
Danger Zone, maybe. But more of the Van Halen, ZZ Top, AC/DC selections will be there, I'm sure.
Is that movie... I wonder if that movie is still big.
Do they mock that?
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's cool now or if that's a cliche, you know? Yeah.
The Blackhawks will no longer play the stripper during their Shoot the Puck contest after hearing from fans who found the song demeaning to women. Blackhawks fans recently have been voicing their opinions about the song and a few other Blackhawks practices they deem sexist. The push for change picked up after Marissa Miller started gathering online signatures for a petition for the Blackhawks to treat their female fans the same as their male ones. She accumulated nearly 900 signatures since posting the petition. So they played the stripper.
On the organ. Frank Pellico.
They did? I didn't even notice that.
I didn't really notice that either, to be honest, because usually when they announce the woman, everybody starts cheering, so you can't really even hear that. I don't think it was that obvious.
Before I heard this, I didn't even realize that that's what they played. Now, they have a whole deal where they have a guy in a Blackhawks sweater, usually, and then a kid.
Right. The kid goes first.
Right, and then there's a woman in 5-inch heels in a short skirt or very tight pants. Right. That's the way it goes. I have, thank you, put my life on the line to save lives. When I shot the puck and fell, they realized that ain't right. That could be something we want to deal with, somebody getting concussed out there. So now somebody puts their foot down on that little carpet while people shoot.
And thank God when you fell, you had a longer skirt on.
Yeah,
because
and I had underwear on, too.
You could have been revealing a lot there.
That was...
little Gary coming
that was, yeah, something I thought about and did wear the underwear. And right after that, before that, they never had a foot on that little carpet. After that, foot on the carpet.
Now, do you think... You were back there when they... Like, what did they... Did they come to your seat to get you?
Yeah.
So when you went back behind...
Right, you go down in that hallway right behind where the Zamboni comes out.
Now, were the other people already there, your other shooting mates?
Yeah, and they let you practice in the hallway.
So
and in the hallway, I was really shooting them nice.
And you...
Because I'm on terra firma.
And were you standing up, or did you fall?
No. But I used that same strength on the ice, not realizing that I'm on ice for some reason.
But I guess what I was trying to say is, so they were already... your other mates were chosen because... In the story that I was reading, they were sort of intimating that the kid and the guy were kind of picked randomly, and yet it seemed like the woman was almost a setup.
Meaning what?
That she was already pre-chosen because she was going to, you know, she came wearing the outfit.
Well,
and
I'm
don't
sure
know that they do that.
Women come now dressed, hoping to get picked, right? And they're walking around.
Just, they just dress the part.
Ready to go if, in fact, they get picked. They're thinking, I did the right thing. I dressed because that's the way they want me to dress.
Because that's right. Because they made it. This person that was quoted in the story intimated that they felt like the Hawks had already, you know, had prearranged for these women to show up. And I don't
really
think that's
the case. I never heard that. No. I don't know. I assume that these women came dressed like that. They saw them, asked them if they wanted to do it.
Yeah.
It's gotten to the point, according to this woman who started the petition, where there's jeering in the audience, and you can hear men say some ridiculous things. It's more like the overall picture. It's always the woman standing there when the stripper is played. It's never the guy or the celebrity. It's her theme music. But just thinking about it on the surface, what's the stripper relating to? The woman's not going to strip.
No.
I don't know why they would play that anyway. That doesn't seem right.
Well, because, I mean, you know, when they walk out.
I know, but
they always kind of walk and they
the
are
stripper.
Wiggling. And
it's the stripper. It really doesn't connect. So I don't know if that changes anybody's attitude of the enjoyment of seeing this.
And they did say that at sometimes the organ player will play Pretty Woman, too. You know, the Roy Orbison.
All right.
So that's
okay, right?
Right, yeah. But
I have no objection to women wearing high heels or women dressing up to go to a hockey game, she said. I have a problem with that being the only woman who are picked. You're not going to see a grandma. You're not going to see a mother. You can't say this woman is randomly picked. You see different kinds of men. You don't know what you're going to see when a man comes out, but you have a pretty good idea when a woman comes out. Yeah, it's always been. How long has this been going on?
Oh, easily since the mid-'80s.
And it's always
early
been the
80s.
Same group?
It's always the same kind of thing. And maybe even the late 70s, but certainly throughout the 80s, you know, and it was it's always been the same kind of thing. The young kid, he gets a cheer.
The older guy gets booed.
Gets booed because everybody's jealous that he got picked and they didn't. You know, your usual fan.
And let me again point out that the little kid is, what, 10, 15 yards closer? So when he makes it, everybody goes, ape crap.
Yeah, right.
And the rest of us, we're back at the blue line.
Boy, that's still
or the center ice. Center ice. Not even the blue line.
That's still eating at you, though, isn't it? That the kid gets it. Because every time
and that kid after me made it, too.
I know.
That little
didn't he get, like, a United Airlines ticket or
something? Like that. And I tried to point out, he's 15 yards closer.
Hey!
I mean, come on.
But, I mean, the thing is, too, when I'd even have to say that now, I don't know how you would rate the women and what they're wearing now, but I'll tell you, in the 80s and 90s, the women used to wear even more revealing and tighter. Now you'll see women coming out in really tight jeans, but most often it was women in leather minis, like micro minis. I mean, and stiletto heels.
The heels seem to be the thing still.
Yeah.
Miller's second objective is for the Blackhawks to clothe the women who are members of the ice crew appropriately to do their job of shoveling ice during media timeouts. The ice crew's uniforms for women include short skirts and crop tops. Well, I guess the percentage of female fans that I heard was 38%.
Right.
That's their female fan base. And I'm sure that's been going up over the years. But let's be honest, the hockey fan of yesteryear was probably 95% male.
Well,
that's what they're catering to or were catering to.
Well, and that's what John McDonough, the president of the Hawks, is saying, is that, you know, our female fan base is growing and we may need to begin to change and react to that so that they don't feel uncomfortable because it really was.
And John's a smart guy.
Yeah.
He knows what to do.
And he said it correctly. He said, we certainly want to listen to our fans. We don't want to overreact, but we certainly do want to react and listen to them.
Because the thing is huge now.
Oh.
It's a lot different than it was 10 years ago.
You know, and you do see, I mean, my gosh, when we used to do those shows there, I mean, there were just as many women at those games than there were guys. Now, you go back 30-some years, it was mostly a male audience.
Yep.
So that's why the kind of chauvinistic...
Her final goal is for the Blackhawks to include more women moderators at their fan conventions in the future. The Blackhawks 2014 convention did not include a woman moderator, but previous conventions have.
Hmm.
I don't think that's a big hurdle for them to get over. Sure, they're happy to do that.
Well, I'll tell you, though, that has been... I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see if they... Because in one of the articles that I saw, John McDonough actually said, you know what, I rarely even watch the Shoot the Puck contest, so I really can't comment on that. And so in terms of are they going to revamp the whole thing, it is kind of a tradition, as maybe as antiquated as it may seem, with that, with the woman coming out.
Right.
But it really is kind of a tradition with at a Hawk game.
Well, because it's been going on so long.
Yeah. But, you know, times do change, and they certainly need, you know, want to...
And they will do what is right. They always do.
Create a hostile environment or anything.
With the current configuration of management. Lisa? Hello? And Lisa is one of the eight callers, isn't she? She
yep, yeah.
Got cut off there somehow. Call back, Lisa. And Leslie was telling us during a break that she went out there as one of the strippers.
Yeah, when did you do
and
that?
Shot
when
the
were
puck.
You one of the strippers?
It had to be in the 90s.
Now, Bibble claims that back then that the women were wearing even more revealing outfits than they
wasn't
do now.
Wasn't it a little more risque back in the 80s and 90s? What did you wear?
I did it as part of a radio promotion, so I had a really short black skirt,
see?
A Gunzo jersey, and 4-inch stiletto heels.
Yeah, see,
and
that's
did
what
somebody
I'm saying.
Tell you to wear that, or you just picked
see,
up
I
on
don't
the vibe?
Even, I think it was indicated that women on the ice at the United Center wore mini skirts and high heels.
Yeah, see, it was. Now I see when I've gone to Hawk games, they're certainly very attractive. A lot of times they're very tall. They have these huge. But a lot of times I see women with really tight jeans.
Jeans is
or
now that,
a, or a tight skirt that's not necessarily micro mini. I just remember the days when these, like you're saying, you wore a tight a short mini skirt, and then of course when you bend over to shoot the puck,
nah.
Everybody would go crazy. They didn't even know if the puck was being shot.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't appreciate my form.
No, yeah, well they did your
well,
form,
they,
but not
the,
your hockey
not
form.
Not the form. Yeah. Okay. Because I did practice. That was really kind of nerve-wracking. When
you practice in the hallway where you're on concrete, and then you go out there with that same force, and like I did, didn't work for me the first shot. There goes the rug. As soon as I knew the rug was going, that's when I went into, I'm going to make it look like I planned this.
Oh, that was.
Because my daughter even said, did you plan that? Because it's the way you end.
Exactly.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
And I got right back up.
Oh, man. I will never.
All I remember is looking up and seeing the United Center scoreboard and the lights.
And the banners.
Oh, no.
Oh, the banners. What did I just do?
Right? So I gotta make this look like I did it on purpose.
Did you do that thing where you look backward at the ice somehow reached
that?
Up
right.
And grabbed you?
You do shtickle.
Who did
huh?
that?
Right. Lisa is back. Lisa?
Hey, GM.
What up?
So, John. What up? John McDonough was with the Cubs back in the late 80s and 90s when they still had Marla Collins. So, and the Cubs got rid of Marla for exactly this reason about 20 years ago. So I would say that it's probably time for the Hawks to at least clothe their ice girls.
Okay. I'm sure they're going to evaluate everything. They're female fan base is much bigger than it was 10 years ago. I don't think they'll have any problem addressing those issues if that's what people seem to want. What are they going to come out in? Granny dresses? What are you going to put them on?
Suffragettes.
Yeah.
Big hats.
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire in honor of Robin Williams.
Well, and they're pushing for this whole unisex look, which
yeah,
is great
wear...
for the guys, but it makes every woman look like,
yeah, they want to just wear pants.
She's not, yeah.
Like trousers.
And
trousers.
A polo shirt. Trousers and a polo shirt.
Yeah.
Some sensible belts.
Right,
yeah.
So you look like a flight attendant on Southwest Airlines.
Okay, that's a good
well,
one.
Well, put the guys in heels when they go out to
yeah.
shoot the puck. That'd be fun.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This is why the people on the Starship Enterprise just wore the one-piece jumpsuits that were right. form-fitting and flattered everyone. Yeah.
Well, see, the best part, too, was, now, when you walked out on the ice, did you walk out on a carpet?
No. In fact, when you get out, I used the stick as a balance.
Oh, you
I
did.
Used it as a cane.
Oh, okay.
And shuffled.
Because I was wondering, because back in, you know, back in the 80s and so on.
No,
this thing,
until you get to center ice, it's all ice.
Because there used to be this real tall guy.
His name was, like, Horst.
Yes, he was this big, tall guy, and he would always
escort the women,
escort
right?
the women out. And they did not have any kind of surface, and so now they had these big heels, and they were walking very gingerly because they didn't want to fall.
I went and bought these Dr. Scholl's attachments that fit on the bottom of your shoes, and it was kind of like just putting a sandpaper pad on the ball of your foot, and it helped a lot.
Yeah, because they used to always sort of lean on him.
Yeah, and I had my Tim McGraw cowboy boots on, too.
Good, perfect.
That didn't help.
Those slip on wood floor.
Yeah, that slips on concrete.
Exactly. Well, you saw the result.
Oh, yes,
but,
I did. Yes, I did.
But because of that, saving lives.
And
thank you.
And not only that, but it is memorable.
That's right.
It is memorable.
As I've said before, if things go 100% right, not much material.
Yeah.
When they go wrong, though.
Yeah.
You're like that lady who spilled the coffee on her lap at McDonald's.
Yes.
Because of you, the whole system has to change.
You're a highlight reel.
It is on there. When they do that, you're right. I'm on there.
Right.
I think they showed me falling, but they took that out.
Oh, really?
I think they took that out.
Well, the day of the game, because I saw that at home, and on the day of the game, they used you over the credits.
Falling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They showed you from several angles, and they just were running the credits as you were falling.
Plus, other radio stations talked about it.
Right.
And that's fine.
And
thank you.
If you would have shot it and made it.
No. Or shot it and missed.
Whatever.
Nothing.
Another day.
Right.
Another person.
But that, gave me more currency.
And if I were you, I mean, how do you feel about that? Are you embarrassed or is it funny?
No, not at all.
Well, then you should tell John, hey, put me back in there.
Well, I don't know why they would take it out.
If they've edited you out.
Okay.
You know, because that's cool. That's fun.
You need to get the seats right above the plastic or the protective barrier so you could take a puck to the head.
Yeah.
That would be the...
Now, that's a highlight. Yeah. Day Tripper, a song about people that were hippies for a day. They would take acid every now and then, but they were pretend hippies, according to what I read about that song. And who would know more about that than Jay Gepner from the Beatle Brothers, right, Jay?
Hey, Gary, how you doing? All right, it's great to hear you once again, and I'm really digging the show.
Yeah, thank you, man. He was my grandfather,
and now it's all this.
And
right. I never said that we were bigger or greater or comparing us with Gary Meyer, saying we were taller or whatever. I just said what I said, and it was wrong.
It was wrong.
It was taken wrong.
It was taken wrong.
Now it's all this.
Wasn't Day Tripper written by Lennon to kind of mock the people that took drugs one day a week or something and thought they were hippies? And
A little bit of that, Gary. Yeah, he wrote that, and then Paul wrote that was one that they actually finished together. So
yeah,
it's all about the hippies and groovy and all that stuff that was going on at that time, and you know, 1965, and you know, just a great year for the Beatles. You know, so many great songs came out of that year, and.
And you'll be performing some of those where?
Yeah, Gary, I just wanted to let some of your listeners know that the Beatle Brothers, Phil Angotti and myself, are going to be playing not too far away from the city. It's right in the city of Chicago at a beautiful Italian restaurant called Coletti's, and it's on 5707 North Central Avenue in Chicago from 7 o'clock till 10 o'clock tomorrow evening. So it's all outside. You could bring the family, and hopefully you and Jim will want to come by and have some pizza and sing some songs with us, you know?
That's all on Central and what?
Elston
yeah,
is Central.
Right. I know where that is.
Right on the city's north side.
Look at you. That's my hood.
I know.
That's where
I
used to roller skate.
That's where
Yeah. Yeah, Gary, and you know, Beetlefest is in town this weekend. I know, you know, back in the old days, we used to attend that quite a lot.
Yeah, we did, and watch the people play underneath the stairs.
Yeah, and they're still there right now, still singing and getting ready for this year, too. So.
And then one year, I see this guy sitting behind a table selling Beetle mugs and things, and I thought, boy, he looks familiar. It was Eddie Munster.
That's right.
And he had been on the show one day many years ago with Peter Tork.
Why was he selling Beetle mugs?
It was just one of those moments of he was searching.
Butch Patrick.
Yeah,
Butch
he Patrick. Needed to make money some way. Yeah. You know, and that was it. And
Eddie Munster sitting there, it was a little acid trip.
I remember that, Gary, because I was with you, and you were like, is that Eddie Munster?
Yeah, and it was.
And it was. You know, it wasn't, you know, playing the look-alike game. But
no.
It's really weird because usually Beetlefest is at the same time as Comic-Con, you know. So you'd see guys walking with Sergeant Pepper suits and Star Trek outfits with Chewbacca, right? All in the
Rosemont area there.
Right, exactly.
It's still at the same place in Rosemont?
Yeah, it's still at the Hyatt Regency there, and you know, it's still exciting. It's great. I love going because I love seeing the younger kids and how excited they get about this, about the music. Mm-hmm. Because it reminds me of when I was growing up listening to the Beatles, and when I really started digging the Beatles, of course they were broken up, and everybody said, oh well, then you know. That band was from the 60s, and they're broken up now. And you know, a lot of people didn't think, you know, that they were always talk about, will they get back together or will they do this? And then, of course, when John was killed, it kind of ended all that talk of reunions and stuff like that.
That would do it, when one of the members is dead.
Yeah.
Kind of a downer.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's fun. It's a great week. I'm also going to be performing next week in Liverpool, England.
That Liverpool,
England. Yeah.
And you do this every year. You go over there and there's a big Beatles Battle of the Bands kind of thing, right?
Well, it's called the Beatle Week, and there's like hundreds of Beatle bands from all over the world just playing all week long. And it starts Thursday, and it goes to the following Thursday of next week. But bands start at 12 in the afternoon and play till 4 in the morning. Like, I have like 14 shows on 12
just like they did.
Stages. Right. Exactly, yeah. And it's just, you go and watch everybody, and it's cool. I'll be able to see all the Fab Four guys, Will and Jimmy and Frank and all them guys, and Jackie
and Larry and Lenny.
Yeah, no, the Fab Four guys will be playing there this year.
And they're going to be at the Chicago Theater in November. Are you going?
Exactly. Well, yeah, I hope to. Yeah, always love catching them. It's a great show and so much fun. So there's a lot of great, exciting Beatle news in the air.
So if you want to see Jay, it's either this tomorrow at this restaurant, Collini's?
Coletti's.
Yeah,
Coletti's. Or go to Liverpool a week from today.
Right.
You pick.
You know, which would be easier for you? You know, and Gary, we got to bring you out to this Beatle Week one of these times. You know,
the one in Liverpool.
Because I think you'll really dig it. You know,
it would be fun to see the ground zero of all this.
You have to go there as a Beatles fan. You have to go there.
Now, Gary, have you ever gone to England?
I've been to London.
No, you gotta go. And
I went to the Abbey Road crosswalk and did all that.
Okay.
But how far is Liverpool from London?
It's like a 3-hour train ride.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
3.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, but. Gary, when you were there, did you get a tour of Abbey Road Studios?
No, they weren't doing tours.
Oh, okay.
Are they doing tours?
They don't do tours, but I figured with you, you'd be able to get in there get a tour.
Yeah, well, you figured wrong. Now, Jay just walks into places. Every time I see him, I just walked in backstage and said I knew somebody, and they let you in.
It was great. 2 weeks ago, I was backstage at Madison Square Garden for Queen, and I just walked in, and when they asked me where my wristband was, I just said, "Hey, I'm Jay Gebner. I met you in Seattle." And they go, "Oh, you look familiar."
Yeah, so he does that all the time.
Great.
That's what my brother does in Northern California. He has the same kind of thing. He just walks in and says, "Oh, I'm with so-and-so," and he seems to get in. And I want to ask you about that Queen concert.
Yeah.
This guy who was on American Idol.
Yeah.
Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert is doing the lead singing. How is that all working?
He's great. Unbelievably talented dude, and he could really sing. So all that stuff that Freddie was doing, he's doing. The kid is amazing, and the whole band is rejuvenated with this, they're taken from his energy and just really putting on a great show. They were in Chicago. They actually opened their tour in Chicago, but I had a show that night, so I chose to go to New York City to see it. And boy, it was really
that's
really
what I've
great.
Heard. He really is.
He really did.
Well, this makes much more sense than Paul Rodgers from Bad Company.
Yeah.
I mean, that's he's not singing Queen.
Well, yeah, but, you know, this Adam Lambert kid, he's got like an 8-octave
range.
That's
what I mean. This makes a lot more sense.
Just incredible. And he's gay, too, so he kind of fits that whole thing, too. So,
that's funny to you, Jay? You find that funny?
I just think it's a perfect fit, you know, if you're going to go on tour, you know?
Yeah, all right. He's gay and he sings well. That's what you need for the lead singing position of Queen.
Yeah, you know.
Any other tidbits?
Whatever gets you through the night, baby, you know?
Anything else going on?
No, that's about it. I just got back. I performed in Sweden last week, so I was out of town for a little bit. And
where
I'm
were you in
these,
Sweden?
In a town called Karlstad.
Oh, okay.
And they were celebrating, like, the 50th anniversary of the Beatles, and everybody's having all these 50th anniversary shows all over the place of when the Beatles performed in their town. So it's really been quite fun. It's been a very fun year this year. So
and
really
Jay
enjoying
is
it.
Independently wealthy. That's why he can take off to these places every week.
Well, it helps working for American Airlines.
That too.
It definitely helps.
Yeah, that's how he does all this stuff. Can you, Keith, can you lock Jay in so I can put Rebecca on with everybody? Because I got a call here, and I want to make sure you don't get disconnected. Here's Rebecca.
Sure.
Rebecca, what do you have?
Hi, I just wanted to let Jay know that I took my daughters out to see the Beatle Brothers do the Brahms and Beatles last winter with the Suburban Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, yes, wow. We had so much fun doing that. Oh, you were there. What'd you think of the show?
Well, I'll be perfectly candid. My daughters were a little bit bored in the Brahms thing, which I expected, but I just wanted to expose them to the symphony. But the second half, when you guys performed with them, they loved it. They still talk about it.
Where was that at?
It was in Westmont, and it was with the West Suburban Symphony Orchestra. And Phil and I did a show with them. So we, back in February, it was kind of like a 50th anniversary show. It was on February 9th. And that was when I brought my dad in to advertise the show on your show.
Oh, yeah, Gary. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
damn kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn Beatles.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he said, I look like a bunch of queers.
Right, right.
Something like
right.
that.
He said hello, Gary, and he says anytime, if you ever need him to give his point of view on the on world events, he's ready.
Yes, he is. From that generation who has no filter.
Yeah. But thank you. The show was so much fun doing it with a full symphony orchestra. So doing those songs and like I know Gary always mentions that Paul McCartney should be doing stuff like that. But it was really something not having to use strings or not having to use pianos or all this digital stuff. It was the real thing. You had a 45-piece orchestra playing with you. It was just beautiful.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thanks.
Very cool. Bye-bye.
Thanks. And Jay, good luck with everything.
Oh, good. Thanks so much, Gary. And, hey, if you're not doing anything tomorrow night, Coletti's, come on out.
All right.
We got a table for you. We'll hook you up.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, Gary. Thanks so much. Take care, bud.
Jay Gebner from the Beatle Brothers. All right. Coletti's from
Coletti's,
your old neighborhood.
Yes, I know.
Has that been there a long time?
Yeah, I've been there. If it's the place I'm thinking about, yeah.
You roller skated by there?
Near Elston. That's where the where I got my driver's license too. There's a driver's license place on Elston. That's the main one where we would all.
Did you get your license the first time? Or were you blowing stop signs and stop lights back then?
First time. Although it was so great because, you know, when you get in the car, your car has to meet the correct standards. The car you take into the test.
Sure, I hope so.
Well, so this
yours is blowing smoke.
No, this is 1981 or so, and my dad, we got the Caprice Classic, and he cut the seatbelts out.
Oh, that's nice.
So now I'm in the
you
line.
Don't need these seatbelts.
Yeah, these damn seatbelts. So I'm in the line waiting for the guy to come in the car to take the test, and I reach for the seatbelts, and my dad's still in the car with me, and I go, "Where are the seatbelts?" And he goes, "I cut them out." And I'm like, "I can't take the test if the car doesn't have seatbelts." I go, "And where are we going to get a car? This is our only car. How am I going to ever take the test?" So he goes, "Well, I don't know.
Hey, it's your problem."
Yeah, so he gets out of the car, and I'm sitting there. Now I'm stewing because I'm like, I mean, this is the moment.
I got no seatbelts.
This guy, my dad, standing on the side. The instructor sits down in the car, and before he says hello to me, he points to my dad and he goes, doesn't say hi, doesn't know who I am. He goes, "Boy, does that guy over there look familiar? Who is that guy? I know that guy." And I go, "Oh, that's my dad." He goes, "Really?" He didn't even check for the seatbelts.
So you got through the test. You took the test and didn't care about the seatbelts.
He didn't check the car. He goes, "Do you want to make a 3-part turn?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay."
Well, that was divine intervention, huh?
Oh, little did
that guy know he was giving a license to you.
So my dad actually did me a favor, even though I was really mad at him because he cut the seatbelts out of the car.
We're talking about the Hawks and this woman who wants the ice girls to cover up more or have some kind of balance. Yeah. And this text says the Hawks should get the Matadors from the Bulls for the ice girls. That will shut their pie holes. Who are the Matadors?
Aren't they the girls that do the halftime?
I'm thinking of the the cheerleaders for the Bulls weren't called the Matadors.
Oh, no, that's they're lovable.
The lovables.
Yeah, who are the Matadors then?
Are those larger women that would come out? I haven't been to a Bulls game in a long time. I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know who they are.
Well, how about getting, in addition to the ice girls, you get a couple guys with no shirts, but they have the cuffs and the collar.
Like a Chippendale.
Like a Chippendale, just to satisfy the women. And they can scrape up some ice on a shovel, too.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that the ice girls could still be sexy and still, I mean, those are really skimpy uniforms.
Well, yes,
I mean, they
are.
Could, even if they had about 4, 5, or 6 more inches on, they'd still be pretty sexy. So
maybe Corneliusen should sing in a super G-string. And a red, white, and blue dickie. Maybe that would satisfy.
Was still there.
Bibble is a real perv. The Norwegian woman on the plane, now the chicks at the Blackhawks game. You were talking about eyeballing that woman on the plane.
Oh, jeez.
The Zoftig, tall, Swedish woman.
She was just this blonde Amazon. Are you off? Did you?
I am at 7. What do you got in mind?
You turned your microphone off.
I thought I was going to cough.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So, what else do I have before we land this thing?
Didn't you want to play Tom?
Oh, yeah. I got some weather with Tom, and I want to do some Ramsey selling of the city here. Keith, if
Gary,
you could.
We've got a nice cool night. There's a fall feel to the weather tonight. Temperatures go down to 53, inland 60 at the lakefront. Clear skies. Tomorrow, partly sunny, up to 82, but more like the mid to upper 70s at the beaches. Then tomorrow night, partly cloudy, might be an isolated thunderstorm late. And Saturday, partly sunny, a few scattered thunderstorms, primarily in the afternoon and evening. If and where they occur, they'll be heavy, but not everybody will see them. About 40% coverage on those, and about 86 for a high on Saturday. And then Sunday, winds off the lake, more clouds than sun, spells of showers, and maybe a thunderstorm, and a scattered thunderstorm Monday, too, with maybe mid-70s and low-70s at the lakeshore on Sunday.
And Ramsey.
A couple drives to Chicago on a Friday night from Iowa, about a five-hour trip. The goal is to spend the weekend in what is touted as one of the great cities in the world. The couple doesn't get to the big city much, so the excitement level is high. When they get close enough to see the great Chicago skyline, they'll get chill bumps. They check into one of the fabulous hotels the city has to offer and head out to dinner on West Randolph. A stretch of trendy restaurants awaits them. They dine al fresco. The weather is summer perfect. The vibe is urban grandioso. Back at the Trump Hotel, drinks on the 16th floor across from the Wrigley Clock, right above Trump's big fat name. Tomorrow, the itinerary includes the taste of Chicago, and this is the main focus of the trip. To sample foods, stroll through Grant Park, and listen to music at the Petrillo Music Shell. When you wake on Saturday morning, you check your phone and see that the Taste of Chicago is canceled because of rain. You and your spouse are nonplussed because the rain stopped around noon and the sky appears to be clearing. Is this the same rigmarole as closing the beaches when it gets too hot? You ask the concierge at the hotel to recommend something else. He suggests you drive out to Cicero to run with the bulls at Hawthorne Racecourse. You get a chubby, knowing you would never get to Spain to do this. During the run, your wife falls and hurts her ankle. The ride back to Iowa is with mixed emotions and an elevated leg. You never know what can happen to you in Chicago, and that, my friend, is the way we like it.
Another beautiful Jim Ramsey moment.
When isn't he beautiful? Want a little bit of news here? The Jackie Robinson West team dominated the first game of the Little League World Series with a 12-2 win over the team from Linwood, Washington. Game was called in the fifth inning after the Chicago team took a 10-run lead over the competition. President Obama is calling the U.S. efforts to provide humanitarian assistance to Yazidis in Iraq a success. However, he's indicating that airstrikes in the area are likely to continue.
Who are the Ruzidis?
Yazidis.
Is that an Italian family?
Don't do this.
Well, I don't know who they are.
They're a minority group of Zoroastrians.
And what are they?
Zoroastrians.
Zoroastrians.
Are people who those ISIS guys despise.
Oh.
More than they hate Christians, apparently they hate Zoroastrians. And these people have been stuck on a mountain for several days.
Oh, so those are the people on the mountain.
Exactly.
The Zoroastrians.
The Yazidis.
Because all week you've been saying that, and I think you're making these names up.
No.
I thought you were just making up some names.
And speaking of names that
sound, they sound like Star
made
Wars
up,
things.
two children ages 3 and 4 were found safe this afternoon after they were taken by their father in Waukegan this morning, setting off an Amber Alert. The father, though, is still on the lam. We're talking 23-year-old Dejavante Finley.
It sounds like you've told that story before.
It doesn't it? But I just like
I've
the name.
I've got Dejavante.
I just like saying it. He's got several outstanding warrants and is considered armed and dangerous. The expressways are still really heavy, primarily because Miley's in town. Miley Cyrus at the United Center and the Bears game at Soldier Field. And because of that, the inbound expressways are still crazy heavy, including the inbound Kennedy, still about 55 minutes in from O'Hare. If you're traveling on the inbound Stevenson, it's still about an hour in from 355. And your local forecast, mainly clear and cool tonight. Lows ranging from 52 inland to about 60 downtown. Tomorrow, sun filtered by clouds and a high of 80. Saturday, more clouds, less sun, scattered afternoon and evening thunderstorms, and a high of 85. Sunday, mostly cloudy, showers possible, and a high of 76. I'm Leslie Keiling, WGN.FM.
So this Miley tour, this is that bangers thing, right?
Yes.
So this is where she's like sort of sitting on these phallic symbols
and
in bed.
And spreading her legs inappropriately. Did you see the pictures they took backstage during one of her fan visits? And she was letting like young men stand behind her and cup her bosoms.
I mean, I can't even believe, you know, you remember when Madonna did that tour?
Her sex tour.
Yeah, like in the early 90s, mm-hmm. late 80s, where she was on a bed.
Right, and,
she was,
and it was just, yeah, and everybody said it was so over
the top. But this Miley Cyrus, she wasn't 20.
Miley...
She's 20, and she's making these gyrations on the bed.
Every good thing that Hannah Montana did has now been washed
away.
I
was shocked. And
why did she need to make that turn that severely?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. This is pornographic.
Attaboy.
It's not just,
well, like,
when, risque.
When you let your little fans take pictures of you during the meet and greet by standing behind you and cupping your breasts... You've jumped a shark there.
But it's one of those things where, well, I'm on Disney and I want to tart my image up a little bit and get away from that kid stuff. But then she turned the wheel all the way 180.
She rode that wrecking ball way off.
Well, the twerking thing, that is, compared to what I've seen clips of this, the twerking thing, that's G-rated. That's nothing compared to what she's doing in this concert.
And what is the audience that would be at the United Center tonight?
That's what I was asking you, if your daughter is outgrown it, thank goodness.
It's got to be young girls,
but
right?
But that's what I'm thinking. How do you take a 12-year-old now to see this?
She was sitting, there's one thing that I saw on television. She's on this huge bed. There's about seven people in the bed with her. And at one point, there's a guy that gets on top of her, and she is on her back, and then she gets in and lifts her pelvis up.
She jams her
pelvis with her back on the bed.
Yeah. You don't like this, but you like staring at this Swedish woman on the flight.
Well,
right.
Well, because that was kind of like voyeuristic.
Right. And then he liked looking up the dresses on the ship glass deck.
I didn't actually see, but I could have if somebody, because they had one of those on the ship.
Who designs these things? There was some municipal building recently built where it had a big giant glass staircase. An office building where women generally are wearing skirts and dresses.
Guys, develop these. I mean, this was a walkway that went 28 feet out off the ship
and
into the water, and I could, from my room,
was right,
I could look up the up the glass.
Miley Cyrus, he's had enough of that.
Well, she's 20. That's not right.
That's wrong. Well,
but she's also, it's just kind of gross with her anymore. And then you look at Taylor Swift, who's still, like, age-appropriate and is growing up into this beautiful little swan.
Right, she doesn't have a big foam finger.
I mean, did you see? I mean, and she's sitting on it. It's a huge phallic. It's not even a pretending
it is creepy. She's starting to go that route like Lindsay Lohan where you look like you're about 40, not a good 40.
And she's only 21, right? 20, 21?
And then it's,
I'm shocked that her parents would let her go that far.
Well, she's a grown-up now. She gets to make her own decisions. But I would think, more importantly, her management team would tell her, put the tongue in the mouth, and let's get this boat, you know.
But if I had a 15 or 17 or 18-year-old, well, I guess if you're 18, you can do whatever you want, too. So I guess, as you're saying, you hit an age, and, you know. But if I had a 15 or 14-year-old daughter,
I wouldn't pay money.
There's no way I would take her to that show. And I'm no prude.
Here's a text. They are goosebumps, not chill bumps. Moron.
You can have chill bumps. Why not? That's what
it's
chill
bumps.
You get chilled.
It's perfectly descriptive. Said chill bumps, I would know what you're
was
talking about.
Was chubby the right usage?
Chubby.
Perfect. Chubby is right.
I'm getting chill bumps and a chubby. Look at Leslie right now. Boy,
you were?
I wasn't here for that.
Wow. No wonder you guys need more estrogen on your show.
You could use some Viagra, too.
I'm sure you could. And everything else is pretty much the way we left it yesterday, and we'll try to repair it again tomorrow. It's all we can do, one day at a time.
It's a fast week, though. Tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah, it is. Everything's fast after a certain age, right? It's like you're having breakfast every 15 minutes.
You know, you said that joke before I was 50, and I always would just give a chuckle, but I turned 50 in January, and it is true.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's going to be September.
You're showering. And then you're back in the shower.
Yeah.
That's how fast it goes.
Well, you don't.
Well, that whole September thing.
Oh.
Because we know what's coming after that.
Boom.
And we just got out of the vortex.
Don't do this.
I mean.
All right. We don't need to worry about that. It's still August.
Yeah, but barely.
Stop.
It's August 15th tomorrow. 2 weeks.
Gee.
Thank you.
When is.
I wonder why Robin Williams was depressed.
When is Labor Day?
You didn't
listening
talk to him, did you? You
didn't
call him.
When is Labor
Day? Is Labor Day
enough.
In September or is it August? Sometimes
it's always in September.
No, it's sometimes.
It's the first Monday in September.
Oh, is that what it always
is?
Oh. Right.
Okay. Well, I got
How many
that
days
settled.
In August? 31?
Oh, shut up. That's enough. Go look at some woman that you think is age appropriate for you.
Oh, my goodness. She was unbelievable. And then I let her go in front of me. In the like her, all right, her bag was there, and I was
thank
like,
you.
Do you need to get out? She's like, no, I'll wait.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
And then I turn around, there's my wife.
Yeah. Isn't that something, how that happens? Thank you for listening. Back tomorrow at 3. The whole show repeats itself right now.